line up at the back with Lisa back there. You can hit on back there. If you're what age again? 4 to 8 years old. You can line up at the back and go down to Kingdom Kids. All right. So before I get into my message, I want to tell you a story. I like to, one of my favorite things to do is they have these, I love reading books that just have stories in it of what God is doing in people around the world. Just miraculous stories of how they came to know Jesus. And God has been moving for a while now in the Muslim world. We don't hear this stuff in the news, but there are so many Muslims who are coming to Jesus right now. And we shared this last week about someone we heard recently that's connected to a network. It's just one network of churches made up predominantly of former Muslims. There are 3 million house churches in this one network, 60 million adult believers, former Muslims that are in this one movement. And I love this, like so many good books, it's just telling stories of what God's doing, these testimonies. And one of the common features that is happening in the Muslim world, and it's been happening for a while, that's really contributing to the harvest, is Jesus is appearing to people in dreams and visions. Like the man himself is showing up in their dreams. And in some way, he's revealing himself to them, and it ends up leading to their salvation later, eventually, either right away or later on. And one of these stories that I thought was so cool that I read is, this was in Mecca, is where this one took place. And there is a young woman there, young Muslim woman. You know, they got the black hijabs or whatever they are that they wear. Their total body is completely covered. There's like a slit for the eyes. You guys have seen those outfits, right? There's like a little slit for the eyes. That's it. Everything else is totally covered. Like that, that's what they have to wear in public. And so this young woman is meeting with one of her friends. And they've been friends since childhood, best friends. And her friend begins sharing with her about how Jesus came to her in a dream. And she was so excited. She's like, I think, you know, he's real. I think he's really God. And this young woman is hearing her friend's testimony. And she's like, God doesn't listen to us. Like our whole life, like we're invisible. Nobody sees us. We just walk around, all of us women. God doesn't care about women because that's common in their culture. She's like, we're dressed in these things. Nobody sees us. Nobody even knows. Nobody cares. He's like, I've spent a whole life just praying the prayers and doing all this kind of stuff, praying to Allah. And it's like, he never responds. You know, there's nothing. Like, he doesn't see us. He doesn't care. He doesn't respond. And then her friend who's had this encounter with Jesus is, she's like, you should try praying to Jesus. You should try praying to Jesus. And this girl's like, I'm going to pray to Jesus. I'm not going to do that. And she's like, why not? Just try it. Try pray to Jesus. Ask him anything. She's like, okay, I'll ask him. And then she goes, Jesus, if you're real, come to me in a dream tonight like you came to my friend. And so her friend gets all excited. She's like, perfect. He's going to do it. She goes, make sure you call me when he shows up to you in the dream tonight. So anyway, the night goes by. The next day, she sees her friend, and her friend is so excited. I mean, the woman who was just like, okay, I'll see if he'll come to me in a dream. She prayed. She's like, Jesus came to me in a dream last night. He really did. He showed up. And you know what he said to me? He came to me and he looked at me and he says, I am the God who sees you. That's what he said. I am the God who sees you. And then, and she was like, I'm so excited. I want to know more about him. And now she's talking to her friend who knew Jesus. She's like, well, I need to know more about him now. Now she's all wants to know, right? And then she's like, okay, so she takes her, the two of them go to their church. It's a secret church. They meet. It's like top secret because if they're found out, they'll be killed. And they're meeting in secret. And while they're there, they're actually, this is what it's like when they meet in secret. I'm sharing this for a reason. I like to share these stories because I think sometimes it's so easy, right? We live in our own world, our own little bubble. And sometimes we have no idea of the magnitude of what God's doing around the world. And we don't even know. We see the faces on the news and it's just a face, right? It's just like that girl said. It's like, it's just another person covered in a hijab. We don't know them. We don't see them. And God's like, I see them. I know them. I know the yearnings of their heart. I know the pain of their heart. And I care about them. And there's a harvest field that is ripe in the earth right now. And a lot of times we don't see it, but it is so ripe right now. That's why I like to tell you these stories. And so she had this dream. Jesus is like, I'm the God who sees you. They go to this secret church meeting. They're meeting in this home. And in this home is like all these believers. They sneak in, right? And they're in there and they have to meet in quiet because they can't let people hear. They can't sing because people through the walls would hear them and they'd be found out. And so they can't talk out loud about Bible verses. The guy can't preach because people might hear it through the walls in the other apartments. And so they give hand signals. And so the leader looks, and he looks at everybody, and he gives hand signals, and he's indicating what scripture. He's like, the Lord put it on my heart, a chapter of the Bible that we're supposed to read together today. And he just goes like this with his left hand. He goes, that's Genesis, okay, first book of the Bible. And then he gives Sorry, I'm trying to do it with a microphone in my hand. Chapter 16. And he goes, and so everybody gets out their phones, their Bible app, and they read all silently on their own. They all read Genesis chapter 16. And then they get together in groups of two, and they share what they learn because they can't just talk out loud. So they get together, quietly share in groups of two. And this girl's so excited who just had the dream the night before because what she read in Genesis 16 was a story of Hagar, who had been kicked out of her home with her son, Ishmael. And she's alone and she's scared and she thinks she's just going to die. She doesn't know what she's going to do. And she's crying out. And God appears. God comes to her. I don't remember the story. I think it's the angel of the Lord or something. God comes to her. And you know what God's, and know what she gives God a name. And she says, you're the God who sees me. And she read that story. She's like, oh, the exact phrase. And you know what sticks out to her? She goes, this is what I learned. God values women. She's like, he even let this woman give him a name. Like she let this woman name him. And she was so moved by that. She ended up, of course, coming to the Lord and she gets saved. The story goes on. It's an awesome story. But I just want to share that with you. The harvest is ripe in the earth right now. And the workers are few. So pray to the Lord of the harvest. I encourage you, pray for Muslims. Let's pray right now. Father, in Jesus' name, we lift up to you the Muslim world. And we ask, God, even for Minneapolis, St. Paul, Muslims that are living there in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. God, I ask that you would raise up laborers that would preach the gospel, make disciples of Jesus, plant new churches, and start mighty Jesus movements among these people. God, let the word of Christ run swiftly among them. Let it grow in power and prevail. Father, I pray that you would stretch out your hand to heal. Perform miraculous signs and wonders in the name of your holy servant Jesus that confirm the testimony of Jesus. God, I ask that you would give them dreams and visions and reveal yourself to them and draw them to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. So I'm not going to preach the message that I have in your notes today. I had a dream this morning. I was actually really excited to preach that. I will preach it eventually. But I had a dream this morning and I woke up. And in the dream, I was preaching to James River Church, and I was talking about, it's going to sound weird, I was talking about God and calling him the solution maker. And in the dream, I was saying to you guys, I'm like, we need to encounter the solution maker. And the idea in the dream that I had was, all of us, you know, there's times in life we get into these predicaments, these unresolved situations that we can't see a solution for. And we try everything that we can do, but how many of you know that only goes so far? And then we get to this point and it's like, it's impossible to solve for us. We need to engage the solution maker in our situation to bring forth his solution. And I was like, we need fresh encounters with the solution maker. And that's what I was preaching in the dream. And so I just thought, I'm going to talk about that this morning. So I'm going to read to you. I hope you have your Bible. If not, get your Bible app out on your phone. But promise me you won't be checking email or looking at Facebook or the news. If you're looking at your phone, I'm trusting it's a Bible app on there. So not Genesis, just kidding. Isaiah 36. We're going to read Isaiah. I'm going to read two chapters of the Bible today. Isaiah chapter 36 and 37. Because what happens here is, I'm going to set the story up to you before we start reading it. Assyria, the army of Assyria was the dominant world empire at the time that this story is happening. And Assyria had a powerful army. They had conquered many nations, many peoples. They were a vast empire. They had already conquered the northern kingdom of Israel and scattered them. And now they were attacking and besieging the southern kingdom of Judah, where the city of Jerusalem is. And the king of Judah at the time was, thankfully, he was a righteous one. They didn't always have a righteous king. But praise God, in this, when this crisis broke in, there was a righteous king leading. That makes a big difference. And Hezekiah was a righteous man. And what happens is the Assyrian army surrounds and is threatening Jerusalem and Judah. And they begin by giving this speech to intimidate Judah, the people of Judah, and the king Hezekiah into surrendering to the Assyrian army so that, hey, so I don't have to come in and kill you. You need to surrender. And so this guy is going to be speaking pompous, arrogant words against not only Judah and their army, but against their God. And so we'll pick up on the story in verse 4 of chapter 36. Then the Assyrian king's chief of staff told them to give this message to Hezekiah. This is what the great king of Assyria says. What are you trusting in that makes you so confident? Do you think that mere words can substitute for military skill and strength? Who are you counting on that you have rebelled against me? On Egypt? If you lean on Egypt, it will be like a reed that splinters beneath your weight and pierces your hand. Pharaoh, the king of Egypt, is completely unreliable. But perhaps you will say to me, we are trusting in the Lord our God. But isn't he the one who was insulted by Hezekiah? Didn't Hezekiah tear down his shrines and altars and make everyone in Judah and Jerusalem worship only at the altar here in Jerusalem? This is such a funny statement to me because this shows his complete ignorance of the true God. Because what ends up happening is the problem with Judah is they had got what God had commanded them. You are to worship only God, worship no idols, and you are to worship at the temple in Jerusalem. But then they started worshiping idols and other gods, and they set up shrines and places for sacrifices to these gods all over the land. And Hezekiah became king, and he's like, we're done with this. We're going to get back to the word of God and do what God said. And he took down all the shrines around the land that were devoted to the idols, the false gods. And he commanded the people, do what the Bible says. You're going to come to Jerusalem and worship God in the place that he said, and you worship only God. But this pagan king, he's like, man, he tore down all the... He doesn't even get what's going on. He's trash talking here. In verse 8, he says, I'll tell you what. This is pretty intense. Listen to this. I'll tell you what. Strike a bargain with my master, the king of Assyria. I will give you 2,000 horses if you can find that many men to ride on them. He's calling Hezekiah's bluff. He's like, I have a vast army. You don't even have enough soldiers to put them on 2,000 horses. That's what he's saying. He says, with your tiny army, how can you think of challenging even the weakest contingent of my master's troops, even with the help of Egypt's chariots and charioteers? What's more, do you think we have invaded your land without the Lord's direction? The Lord himself told us, attack this land and destroy it. Then Eliakim, Shebna, and Joah said to the Assyrian chief of staff, please speak to us in Aramaic, for we understand it well. Don't speak in Hebrew, for the people on the wall will hear you. It's like, hey, like, you know, if you got a message from the king to our king, it's like, talk to us in this language that the common people don't understand what you're saying, okay? Let's just keep this between us. That's what he's saying there. But Sennacherib's chief of staff replied, do you think my master sent this message only to you and your master? He wants all the people to hear it, for when we put the city under siege, they will suffer along with you. They will be so hungry and thirsty that they will eat their own dung and drink their own urine. It's like Bear Grylls. Sorry, that was a family joke. That's why only my family laughed. Thanks, guys. I feel the love. I feel the support. We're in this together. Okay. Then the chief of staff stood and shouted in Hebrew to the people on the wall. Listen to this message from the great king of Assyria. This is what the king says. Don't let Hezekiah deceive you. He will never be able to rescue you. Don't let him fool you into trusting in the Lord by saying, the Lord will surely rescue us. This city will never fall into the hands of the Assyrian king. Don't listen to Hezekiah. These are the terms the king of Assyria is offering. So now he's going to try and do a little. He's done the intimidation. Now he's going to try and throw out a carrot to him, a little sweet talk to get them to talk them in to surrendering. He says, make peace with me. Open the gates and come out. Then each of you can continue eating from your own grapevine and fig tree and drink from your own well. Then I will arrange to take you to another land like this one, a land of grain and new wine, bread and vineyards. Don't let Hezekiah mislead you by saying the Lord will rescue us. Have the gods of any other nations ever saved their people from the king of Assyria? What happened to the gods of Hamath and Arpad? And what about the gods of Sepharvaim? Did any god rescue Samaria from my power? What god of any nation has ever been able to save its people from my power? So what makes you think that the Lord can rescue Jerusalem from me? This is what he's saying. He's like, guys, don't give me this thing. You're all saying, well, the Lord will rescue us. He's like, guys, no god is going to rescue you from my power. It's like the arrogance of this. He's like, and then he starts going through a list of all the places he's already conquered. He's like, I conquered this place, their gods didn't save them. I conquered this place, their gods didn't save them. I conquered this place, their gods didn't save them. And I'm going to conquer you, and your God's not going to be able to save you. That's what he's doing right here. Now he's trash-talking God. But the people were silent and did not utter a word because Hezekiah had commanded them, do not answer him. Then Eliakim, son of Hilkiah, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, Joah, son of Asaph, the royal historian, went back to Hezekiah. They tore their clothes in despair, and they went in to see the king and told him what the Assyrian chief of staff had said. When King Hezekiah, heard their report, he tore his clothes and put on burlap and went into the temple of the Lord. I love this story so much. It's one of my favorite stories in the whole Bible. This is called a righteous man's response to crisis. This is blessed are those who mourn, is what you're about to see. He's tearing his clothes because here's what's happening, and I want you to see this outline. In chapter 36, we see it gives us the predicament that King Hezekiah and Judah were in. This impossible situation. They were vastly outnumbered by an army that was far superior in numbers and weapons to theirs. I mean, the situation, the predicament was a real crisis. It wasn't like something in their own head. They were being surrounded. They were legitimately being threatened. And the king of Assyria meant what he was saying. There was teeth to what he was saying. He was really going to do the threats if they didn't surrender. They're in this crisis situation. And that's chapter 36. It gives us the predicament. And then the beginning, the first half of chapter 37, is a righteous man's response to the predicament, where he engages the solution maker in the predicament. Did you hear that? Because we're going to do that here in a few minutes, in your predicaments, in your unresolved situations, is we're going to call upon the solution maker to enter into the situation and bring forth his solution with power and with might. And so this is what he does. King Hezekiah sent Eliakim, the palace administrator, Shebna, the court secretary, and the leading priests, all dressed in burlap, to the prophet Isaiah, son of Amaz. Okay, this is such a good story. I'm trying to think of things I can skip. Let me see here. Let me go to verse 14. After Hezekiah received the letter, is another threatening letter from the king of Assyria came, basically repeating the stuff he had already said. In verse 14, after Hezekiah received the letter from the messengers and read it, this is what you do, okay? He took the letter. He went up to the Lord's temple and he spread it out before the Lord. All the threats, the predicament, he took his predicament and he spread it out before the Lord in the Lord's temple, and he called on the solution maker to intervene and respond to this. I love that. That's wisdom. Hezekiah is like, you know what? I could respond to all your threats, but since you were engaging God and threatening him as well, I'm going to let him respond to your threats. Wisdom. And listen to what he says. Now, he's looking at this massive army, this huge, seemingly impossible predicament, and he begins his prayer by remembering and praising God for his grandeur, his majesty, his might, his power, and his glory. And this is how he starts the prayer. Hezekiah prayed this prayer before the Lord. O Lord of heaven's armies. Stop right there. Now remember the term Lord of heaven's armies. How many of you know heaven has an army? Heaven has a literal army. It's an angel army, and it's real. And Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, is about to experience what it's like to war against heaven's armies. Because in just a little bit, angels are going to be sent throughout the Assyrian camp and kill 185,000 Assyrian soldiers in one night. I love this. And, you know, Hezekiah was a man of faith. He's like, no. I'm not calling on Egypt's armies to come and ally with us. I'm going above that. I'm calling on heaven's armies. And so who does he go to? He goes straight to the commander, straight to the Lord of heaven, the commander of the Lord of hosts. He's like, Lord of heaven's armies, issue the command to release heaven's armies into this predicament, into this situation, and bring forth your solution. So he says, Lord of heaven's armies, God of Israel, you are enthroned between the mighty cherubim. You alone are God of all the kingdoms of the earth. You alone created the heavens and the earth. How many of you, there's only one God. There's only one God. There's not many gods, and our God just happens to be the most powerful. There is one God. He is all powerful. He is almighty. He is all knowing. He is supreme over all. And there are evil spirits. There are demonic spirits that engage in things, but they are not gods. They were created by the one true God for his purposes and for his glory. They've rebelled against him. Verse 18, it is true, Lord. I like this. He's honest with God in the prayer about the situation. He's not going into denial. He acknowledges God's greatness, and he's like, hey, here's our situation. The kings of Assyria, it's true, have destroyed all these nations, and they have thrown the gods of these nations into the fire and burned them. But of course the Assyrians could destroy them. They were not gods at all, only idols of wood and stone shaped by human hands. Now, O Lord our God, rescue us from his power. Then all the kingdoms of the earth will know that you alone are God. Now here's what happens. He says amen to his prayer. Solution maker, come into this situation and bring forth your solution. And as soon as he says amen, God answers his prayer by giving the answer to Isaiah the prophet and saying, Isaiah, now go tell Hezekiah my response. And you know what I love about this response? Sennacherib, king of Assyria, he did his best at trash talking, but God can trash talk too. And in verse 21, it says, then Isaiah, son of Amos, sent this message to Hezekiah. This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Because you prayed, King Hezekiah, about King Sennacherib of Assyria, the Lord has spoken this word against him. Here it is. The virgin daughter of Zion despises you and laughs at you. The daughter of Jerusalem shakes her head in derision as you flee. Whom have you been defying and ridiculing? Against whom did you raise your voice? At whom did you look with such haughty eyes? It was the Holy One of Israel. By your messengers, you have defied the Lord. You have said, with my many chariots, I have conquered the highest mountains. Yes, the remotest peaks of Lebanon. I have cut down its tallest cedars and its finest cypress trees. I have reached its farthest heights and explored its deepest forests. I have dug wells in many foreign lands and refreshed myself with their water. With the sole of my foot, I stopped up all the rivers of Egypt. But have you not heard? I decided this long ago. Long ago, I planned it, and now I am making it happen. I planned for you to crush fortified cities into heaps of rubble. This is what God's saying to him. He's like, yeah, you think you're all that. You think it's because you're such a great general and such military wisdom and such power and such an excellent leader that you've defeated. He's like, the only reason you're defeating them like that is because I willed it. I'm the one who gave you the ability to do that. That's why these people can't stand against you. For my glory and for my sovereign purposes, I have anointed you for a season to be victorious to accomplish my purposes. But you don't even acknowledge that. You think it's because you're awesome. This is what God's telling them. This is why their people have so little power and are so frightened and confused. They are as weak as grass, as easily trampled as tender green shoots. They are like grass sprouting on a housetop, scorched before it can grow lush and tall. Oh, listen to this. This is terrifying. But I know you well. Oh, gosh. I know where you stay. Oh, gosh. I'm just like quaking in my boots for Sennacherib at this moment. And I know when you come and when you go. I know the way you have raged against me, and because of your raging against me and your arrogance, which I have heard for myself, I will put my hook in your nose and my bit in your mouth. I will make you return by the same road on which you came. Then Isaiah said to Hezekiah, here is the proof that what I say is true. This year you will eat only what grows up by itself. Next year you will eat what springs up from that. In the third year you will plant crops and harvest them. You will tend vineyards and eat their fruit. And you who are left in Judah, you have escaped the ravages of the siege, who put roots down in your own soil and grow up and flourish. For a remnant of the people will spread out from Jerusalem, a group of survivors from Mount Zion. The passionate commitment of who? Lord of what? Heaven's armies will make this happen. And this is what the Lord says about the king of Assyria. His armies will not enter Jerusalem. They will not even shoot an arrow at it. They will not march outside its gates with their shields, nor build banks of earth against its walls. The king will return to his own country by the same road on which he came. He will not enter the city, says the Lord. For my own honor and for the sake of my servant David, I will defend this city and protect it. You know what I love about that last sentence there? God's loyalty and faithfulness to his servant David. David died. He's been dead for many generations already. David lived and he died and he loved the Lord and he loved the city of Jerusalem. And God's like, I'm going to bless you. I'm going to bless this city because I love you. And then David dies, and Solomon comes, and he dies, and the next king comes, and he dies. All these generations have come and gone. It's like many, many generations later, and God's still thinking about David. He's like, I'm going to protect this city because of David. I love the loyalty. God, you've never had a friend as faithful as the Lord. You've never had a friend that can touch the faithfulness of the Lord standing by your side, who generations after you die is still thinking about you and acting in your honor. That's so cool. That night, the angel of the Lord went out to the Assyrian camp and killed 185,000 Assyrian soldiers. When the surviving Assyrians woke up the next morning, they found corpses everywhere. Then King Sennacherib of Assyria broke camp and returned to his own land. He went home to his capital of Nineveh and stayed there. One day while he was worshiping in the temple of his god Nisroch, his sons Adramelech, I think, and Sharezer killed them with their swords. They then escaped to the land of Ararat. And another son, Esarhaddon, became the next king of Assyria. Isn't that a great story? So here's what I want you to see. The predicament, the right response to the unresolved situation, the impossible situation, calling on the solution maker to bring forth his solution. And then he's engaging God in the situation. And then God responds quite effectively, I might add, and brings forth his solution speedily, and God gets the glory. So here's what I want to do. You got a piece of paper. When you came in your notes, there should be like a scrap paper or something in there. What I want to do is I'm going to have, can you just put on that same music that you had first service, like that just instrumental worship music for the background playing? And what I want you to do is I had that dream this morning, and I was like, we need to encounter the solution maker. I want you to write down on a piece of paper the predicaments, the unresolved situations, the crises that you find yourself in, like the things where it feels like you're at a stalemate. You've been like contending, you've been wanting for a breakthrough, you've been doing everything you know, but it seems like you're stuck and you're not, it's not budging and the problem won't go away. I want you to write it down, and then I want you to spread it out before the Lord and say, Lord, solution maker, come into this situation. Bring forth your solution swiftly and with might for your glory. Okay? So I'm just going to play the worship music. I'm going to give you like 5 minutes. And just take your time and write it down. Encourage no conversations except with the Lord. Yeah, that's right there. What do you want God to do? Write it down. Engage him. just encourage you to, once you have those written out, just lay it out before the Lord. Do the Hezekiah thing. Like, whatever you want to do, if you want to get on your knees where you're at, if you want to just turn around in your seat and spread it out before the Lord, like, take the piece of paper, put your situation before the Lord. Say, God, I need you to intervene, solution maker. Bring forth your solution. And I want you to just begin to pray over each situation that you wrote down and ask the Lord to come forth and bring his solution swiftly, swiftly and with power. You're the God of miracles. I feel that stirring in my heart. We're not even just praying for like someday. We want to have an encounter with the solution maker, Abba. Swift. God, I just pray that situations that have been stuck for a long time, we ask for a swift, speedy, like immediate breakthrough. And your resolution fully being manifested with your power in the situation. God, let it be swift and let it be complete in Jesus' name. You are the miracle worker. Father, we call forth a swift, your swift resolution. Your swift resolution. We call it forth. Come now in Jesus' name. God of heaven's armies, we ask you to give the command and loose your angel armies even now on behalf of these different situations to bring forth your solution. You are the solution maker. God, we ask you even now that there would be an immediate command given, that you would command the angel armies, Father, to go forth and bring forth your solution in every situation that's being given to you right now and laid before you. God, we're coming right now. God, we want to see an immediate breakthrough. Just like Hezekiah, he wasn't like, someday let it get better. He's like, we need to get it better now. The army's here. Like, break in, Lord. Break in. That night, the angel armies went forth. God, we pray for the next 24 hours, God, in the next 24 hours, God, let us see breakthroughs. Let us see miraculous breakthroughs that are sound, that are complete, Father, that are not just like, oh, it looks better, and then in a week we got to fight the same battle again. No, it's finished. God, bring forth your solution now in the next 24 hours that we never have to deal with this particular issue again, that it would be resolved. Let it be resolved in Jesus' name. Let it be finished, Lord. Let it be resolved, God. We give it to you. God, we call on the Lord of heaven's armies. Give the command. Father, bring forth the breakthrough. God, let us encounter the God who is the solution maker. You are the solution maker. break in. Your kingdom come. Your will be done now in Jesus' name as it is in heaven. In every situation being put before you as it is in heaven, we call forth the immediate breakthrough of your victory, that we will watch with our own eyes fruit that remains. God, I pray over people in a backslidden condition that we're calling out to you for right now. The backsliding stops today in Jesus' name. The restoration happens today. And God, that pattern of backsliding is broken today, and that we bless them. They will be steadfast in love with Jesus, walking in righteousness in the fullness of the Holy Spirit for the rest of their lives, fruit that remains, Father. We break the pattern of backsliding in Jesus' name. God, we take authority over evil spirits that have been stirring up relationship tensions and divisions for a long time in families and between different ones. And we bind those demons. We command them, go in Jesus' name. We forbid your activity from continuing any further in these situations. And we loose the ministry of the Holy Spirit to bring healing, repentance, humility, and reconciliation, righteousness. Let it come forth. And a speedy work that even years that have been stolen of intimacy in relationships would be quickly restored. It would be like the division never happened. God, I praise you. I praise you for this, Lord. I pray that even this Christmas, that relationships, they'll be celebrating together, and it'd be like they were never apart, God. We declare speedy reconciliation, deep recovery and restoration. With man, this is impossible, but with God, all things are possible. You are the miracle worker. You are the miracle worker. You are the solution maker. We give you the glory. Resounding victory. Resounding victory. Show us your glory. Show us your glory in these situations right now. As a miracle worker, as the solution maker, show us your glory. Mark our hearts forever that we remember. That we remember, we called upon the Lord and he answered, and it would mark us forever. Let the testimonies of Jesus, Father, let them abound in this church family, in the families of this church family, in the friendships, God. Let the testimonies of your greatness and your majesty and your breakthrough go forth and bring glory to your name. We worship you. Oh Lord, we worship you. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. Thank you, Abba. I'm gonna have Chad, can you just come forward? And I want us to stand. Why don't you stand with me? I want to worship him. And here's what I want to do. I've asked him to sing this song, Miracle Worker. Because like in the dream I had this morning, I was proclaiming we need to encounter the solution maker. And I was trying to figure out how to make that work in the song, Miracle Worker. I just call it whatever I want to call it. Waymaker. I was like, solution maker. No, it doesn't work very well. But I was trying to figure it out. So I'm like, let's do Waymaker, right? Waymaker. Let's sing it, and I want to sing it in faith. But here's what I want to do. I want to pray for healing while we're worshiping. Is there anyone that needs a healing in their body? I just want you to hold your hand, and we're just going to have some people gather around you and pray the prayer of faith in agreement with you. So we have two gentlemen here in the middle. We have Loretta over there as well. Just keep your hands up. And those of you around them, gather around them while we're worshiping. And let's engage our faith and call upon the Lord, our healer. Father, even now, God, we command all sickness, go. We command healing. Let it manifest in their bodies completely in Jesus' name. You are the solution maker. God, you are the Lord, our healer. Come forth and bring forth your solution, your healing. Let it manifest quickly and fully in them.